Welcome to Light of Christ Radio. Today, you're joining Pastors Tom and Paula Graves as they again share the good news found in God's Word. Each time you open your Bible, it's a chance to learn about the Lord and an opportunity to grow in your faith. We're excited you've chosen to join us for that time today. At the end of today's broadcast, you'll hear more about the ministry of Light of Christ and how you can get in contact with us if you have any questions or comments to share. We enjoy connecting with our listeners. You'll also find out more about this ministry and how you can hear more audio messages from this series and others. Now, let's get ready to connect with the Lord and join Pastors Tom and Paula for Light of Christ Radio.
Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Tom and Paula Graves.
And this is where we tell a story of the Bible and let it spark some conversation.
We are sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois. To find out more about us, go to lightofchristradio.com. That's lightofchristradio.com.
Today, we continue our series, Festivals Foreshadowing Jesus, with the story of the Festival of Tabernacles from Leviticus 23, Revelation 7, and John 7, 8, and 12.
Well, Paula, as we begin today, let's set the context of our story.
Well, we have seen that, in a way only God could, that each of the holy festivals of Leviticus foreshadows the work of Jesus, the Messiah.
Yeah, we see that Jesus died on Passover, was in the grave on the festival of unleavened bread, and rose on the festival of first fruits.
And God sent the Holy Spirit on the festival of Pentecost. The signal of the festival of trumpets calls us to look at Christ's atoning work demonstrated by the Day of Atonement.
So now we come to the last festival mentioned in Leviticus 23, the festival of booths or tabernacles.
And this celebration can also be known by its Hebrew word for tents, which is Sukkot.
So this was the culmination of all the festivals and reminded the people of how God had lived with them in the wilderness.
It also foreshadows how Jesus, the Messiah, will be present with his people. And this brings us to a story from the Word of God.
And the Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Begin celebrating the Festival of Tabernacles on the 15th day of the appointed month, 5 days after the Day of Atonement."
This festival to the Lord will last for 7 days. Both the first and the day after, the eighth day, are to be like Sabbaths for you. This is a time to celebrate the harvest. On the first day, gather palm fronds, boughs from leafy trees, and willows that grow by the stream.
Then celebrate with joy before the Lord your God for 7 days. For 7 days, you must live outside in little shelters. This will remind each new generation of the Israelites that I made their ancestors live in shelters when I rescued them from the land of Egypt.
Jesus, as a Jew, celebrated the Festival of Tabernacles, and by the time he walked the earth, there were several traditions that had developed. These are not found in Scripture, but Jesus used them to demonstrate his identity.
The first tradition was a water pouring ceremony at the temple. This anticipated that God would pour out his Holy Spirit, as the prophets predicted. At the end of this ceremony, Jesus loudly said, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." At this, some believed that Jesus was the Messiah, while others wanted him arrested.
Another tradition included 3 75-foot candlesticks that were erected in the outer court of the temple during the 7-day Festival of Tabernacles. These were kept burning for the duration and were extinguished in a ceremony on the 8th day.
This light represented the light of God, which guided them through the wilderness, his current guidance, and the light of God's future kingdom.
And Jesus was teaching in this area the day these were extinguished. It was at that time that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." At this, the Pharisees complained, but Jesus was not arrested because it wasn't the right time.
Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead just before he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Again, by tradition, the Jews said that the dead will revive when the Messiah comes. So between the claims of Jesus at the previous festivals of tabernacles and the rising of Lazarus, the people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem by waving palm branches.
Even though it's almost Passover and not the time for tabernacles, the people used the palm branches to worship Jesus as Messiah and the true King of Israel.
This infuriated the Pharisees. They wanted Jesus to make the people stop. But Jesus simply replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. This is when the Pharisees planned in earnest to kill Jesus.
And this is our story from the Word of God.
Well, Paula, as we begin today, we want to talk about God's presence with His people.
And we know this festival can be called Tabernacles, Shelters, Sukkot. It's the seventh and last festival of Leviticus 23, and it happens 5 days after the Day of Atonement.
Yeah, also, Paula, we see it's a pilgrimage festival. That means if you're 20 years and older, if you're a male, you're supposed to journey to Jerusalem and worship at the temple. So again, this was a very important celebration.
And it celebrated how God was manifestly present. That means He was visibly present during the Exodus. In Exodus 13:21, it says, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and He provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people."
So in the wilderness, God gave Moses instructions to build the tabernacle, which is a movable tent where the people could worship God. Mm-hmm. So when it was finished and it was dedicated, the visible presence of God entered the tabernacle.
Right. And again, in Exodus 40, verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filled it. Moses could no longer enter it because the cloud had settled down over it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle."
So, Paula, during this 7-day festival, people would build these little small shelters or tabernacles and camp out in them to, again, to remember what it was like for the people when they were in the wilderness. That is when they came out of Egypt.
Right. And in his gospel, John described how Jesus is present with us in John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth."
So it's interesting how John used the word tabernacle. Again, tabernacle means, again, God with us. So it's very explicitly saying what Jesus is doing.
And just as God had shown His presence to the people through the pillar of fire and the cloud, now Jesus was visibly or manifestly present God here on this earth.
Yeah, we pick up in John chapter 1, verse 17. "That is, the law was given to us through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son is the one who has shown us what God is like. He is Himself God and is very close to the Father."
And another thing that this festival celebrates is their dependence on God. If they remembered back to the Exodus when they were in the wilderness, the people had to depend on God for provision. And so during the celebration, people would live in these flimsy three-sided structures made of branches.
So again, they would camp out in these to remind them again of this time in the wilderness. And these flimsy structures are known by many names, as we've talked about, tabernacles, booths, shelters, and the Hebrew word sukkot, which simply means tabernacle.
And so when the people get to the promised land and when they can grow crops, they are still dependent on God because it's an arid region and they need rain.
And just as the Jews remembered their dependence on God during the festival of tabernacles, we remember that we are dependent on Jesus for our salvation.
Right. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God is so rich in mercy and He loved us so much that even though we are dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved."
Paul goes on to say, God saved you by His grace that when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it.
And so as we look at this scripture, we can see any efforts we make to save ourselves are just as flimsy as the structures in which the people lived during the Festival of Tabernacles.
Yeah, and God knows that we are sinful people, sinful humans, and we can't save ourselves, just like the Jews couldn't feed themselves in the desert or provide rainfall.
But God is loving and gracious and takes care of His kids, that's us as believers, and He does this both physically and spiritually. And He had a plan to send Jesus so that when we believe in Him, we get to spend eternity with God.
And as we go on with our story today, Paula, we want to talk about the water libation offering. And what is that all about?
Well, this was a tradition that had grown up. It's not, God didn't command it. It's not really found in Scripture other than talk about it. But Jesus used the occasion of it to tell the people who He was, to give them His identity.
Yeah, people needed rain in this really arid climate. And each day of the festival, a priest would take a golden pitcher, to fill it with water from the pool of Siloam and then pour it on the altar of the temple.
And while he was doing this, the people would follow him down to the pool and back with worship songs, waving palm branches, and reciting Psalm 118, which includes the words, "Lord, please save us," which in the Greek is Hosanna, and then "bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord."
So as a Jew, Jesus celebrated the Festival of Tabernacles at the temple, even taught there during the celebration. Now, on the last day of the festival, Jesus made a very unusual announcement.
In John 7:17, Jesus says, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me, and anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him.
So only God could supply water, and now Jesus said he would provide living water.
Yeah, that means that he was claiming to do only something God could do, thus he must be God. And so if we understand Jesus' statement, especially in the context of the Festival of Tabernacles, he's really saying to this Jewish people, he is Messiah. And they would have understood that better than we do.
Yeah, and this announcement caused a little bit of division amongst the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the temple guards were sent to arrest Jesus, but didn't because of his teaching. They were really drawn into what Jesus was saying.
And the Pharisees were ticked off that they didn't arrest him, but it wasn't time yet.
Well, Paula, we need to take a break here. If you hear this on the radio, let the station manager know you like our program.
If you listen via podcast, like and share us.
Pastors Tom and Paula Graves will return momentarily with more from today's edition of the Light of Christ radio show. If you're enjoying this teaching, you're invited to check out the blog devotionals that accompany each episode. You'll find them on our Facebook page and through lightofchristradio.com. And now let's join Pastors Tom and Paula for the conclusion of today's show.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. Paul and I were just discussing the water libation tradition.
Yeah, and that was a tradition, and we also can read of another tradition. It was called the temple lighting ceremony, and Jesus, again, uses this tradition to tell his identity. On the first day of the Festival of Tabernacles, they would construct 3 75-foot-high candles or lights, I would call them, near the treasury.
So that's pretty high.
Yeah.
And so the young priests would climb on several ladders to the top, fill a reservoir with olive oil. So they're pretty brave.
Yeah.
So the wicks are made of linen from the priests' old garments. And these candles would light all of Jerusalem during this celebration.
Because remember, the temple is on a mount, and so these are even higher. So this provided light for the entire city, and they reminded the people of the pillar of fire during the Exodus.
And these lights also commemorated the glory of God that filled Solomon's temple at its dedication. So in addition, these giant lights also anticipated a time when God's glory would return, as Ezekiel the prophet predicted.
So as we look at Scripture, we can see Jesus was standing in the area of these lights or candles on the last day when they were extinguished. And then he makes an interesting announcement in John 8:12. He spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life."
While the Pharisees were listening to this, immediately they knew that Jesus had claimed to be the Messiah, and they were not happy campers.
No, and we miss this because we don't understand the Festival of Tabernacles in our Christian tradition.
Yeah, there was a prophecy of the Messiah being the light. It says in Isaiah 49, verse 6 in the Old Testament, he says, "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles," the non-Jews, "and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth."
So Jesus has claimed to be the light of God, basically. And then later that same day, after healing a blind man, which basically he took the blind man from darkness to light with a gift of sight, Jesus says in John 9:5, "But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world."
So the light or salvation that Jesus offered would not just light the temple as the candles, but would light the whole world.
Right. And another tradition that we don't always understand, but we see in Scripture, is the waving of palm branches. And this was a Festival of Tabernacles tradition. It was actually commanded by God in the instructions.
So people used this as Jesus entered Jerusalem the week of his crucifixion. As we pick up in John chapter 12, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!"
Now, the words these people were saying over Jesus as they're waving their palm branches were from Psalm 118, the same song that they would sing to go down to the Pool of Siloam to get the water. And it was, even though it was almost Passover, the people borrowed traditions from the Festival of Tabernacles to show that they thought Jesus was the Messiah King.
Well, most probably they hoped that he would deliver them from the Romans. And I think even the disciples kind of thought that's what Jesus was going to do. They didn't really understand.
And they didn't anticipate Jesus coming twice. So they just thought he was coming to save them from politically. And the other thing, Tom, the people knew that Messiah would raise the dead. And what had Jesus just done?
He'd raised Lazarus from the dead.
Oh, yeah.
So as Jesus came into Jerusalem, the people honored him as God in their midst, and they were praising him as the King of Israel.
Because these people saw Jesus as the fulfillment of the hope of Israel and thus the world. But this really ticked off the Pharisees.
The Pharisees, man, they were just like came unglued. They were angry because they thought Jesus was a heretic. But the people really kind of had more insight than they did.
Right. And Jesus' popularity was a threat to the Pharisees' control. And they didn't want anything to happen. So this is when they began to earnestly plan a way to get rid of Jesus.
So as we've seen in our previous studies, Jesus would die on Passover, according to God's plan. And again, God had a plan for our salvation that was put into place 1,400 years before Jesus was even born.
Yeah, and he wouldn't let that happen. They couldn't do anything to Jesus before this Passover because it wasn't time yet. Because Jesus would become our sacrifice. As we look at the tradition of shelters or tabernacles, God also gave an elaborate sacrifice schedule that was to be done during the celebration.
Yeah, that's really interesting. The Festival of Tabernacles was an 8-day celebration, and in Numbers 29, God laid out, again, as Paula talked about, an elaborate sacrifice schedule. So by the end of the celebration, 199 animals, rather, would have been sacrificed.
But now, because we are under the new covenant that Jesus gave us, the sacrifice is simple. It's the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. And Hebrews 9:13 tells us, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God.
So while the Festival of Tabernacles was a joyful celebration of God with us and of the provision of God, there were still sacrifices because Jesus hadn't died yet on the cross.
Right. And God requires blood to pay the price for the sin, to cover the sins of the people. Now, the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament were temporary until Jesus could come and do. Because now that Jesus has come, he is God with us. He provides forgiveness for us through his blood sacrifice on the cross.
Yes, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "He, God, is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son," of course, Jesus, "and forgave our sins."
And we know this Tabernacles is also a harvest festival because by the time it was celebrated in our calendars, September, October, all the crops would have been harvested. And so as we do in the fall when the crops are brought in, they celebrated basically what we'd call a Thanksgiving for the end of the harvest.
So the Jewish people knew that the schedule of God's festival day from Leviticus 23. So these are to be celebrated throughout the ages.
But there were also prophecies that they would celebrate specifically this Festival of Tabernacles in a new way when Messiah came and ruled. Prophecies foretold that there would be a grand celebration at the end of the age because of a great harvest of souls.
Yeah, we pick up in the Old Testament from Zechariah 14. "In the end, the enemies of Jerusalem who survived the plagues will go up to Jerusalem each year to worship the King, the Lord of Heaven's armies, and to celebrate the Festival of Shelters."
And so we see this all people coming together to celebrate this. And the work of Jesus on the cross was the only way that Gentiles could be made clean too. And so his work would make this possible for the end of the age and to celebrate this tabernacles.
So Jesus was a light to the Gentiles. Again, that's the non-Jews. And now all nations could come and believe without being Jews. So God's making a new way.
And John even gives us insight in Revelations that even the martyrs in heaven will worship Jesus with palm branches.
That really shows us how important that is, those mm-hmm. palm branches, making that correlation. And we pick up, John writes in Revelation 7, verse 9, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands." So again, this is in heaven.
Right. And today, this week, is the week of Palm Sunday. And as a kid, I just thought, oh, that was nice. They took palms and waved them. It must be like flags or something. But as we dive into the traditions of the Festival of Tabernacles, we can see they were pulling traditions forward to identify their worship of Jesus.
You know, Paula, that really shows that God was at work amongst the people because he's really giving them insight. Did they fully understand? No, but they understood enough to get those palm branches out. And that's not just one or two people, but many people to wave those branches because they were kind of understanding a little bit about what Jesus was doing.
Right. And for us, it'd be like using a Christmas tree in the middle of summer. You're taking a traditional symbol and pulling it out of the regular holiday to celebrate something else in a different holiday. And so by waving these palm branches and by singing the same song that they would sing down to the water libation offering, they're telling everybody around that Jesus is the Messiah, and he's come to save them.
Well, Paula, as we end today, understanding the Festival of the Tabernacles gives us insight as Jesus declares that he is the Messiah by saying he is living water and the light of the world.
And we do gain new insight into Palm Sunday as we understand the people were pulling a tradition from the Festival of Tabernacles to proclaim Jesus as King of Israel.
And just as God provided his presence and provision in the desert for Israel, Jesus is Emmanuel, or God with us, and provides all we need for salvation.
Tabernacles also celebrated the end of the harvest.
We know that at the end of the age, there will be a great harvest of souls because of what Jesus did on the cross.
That's all we have for today on Light of Christ Radio. If you want to dig deeper in today's story, we have a free resource. Go to our webpage, lightofchristradio.com.
That's lightofchristradio.com, and click on videos.
This will take you to our YouTube page. Our videos are designed for small group discussion. They contain the context and the story as a movie.
Instructions and questions are found in the More section below the video. Light of Christ Radio is sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois.
Be blessed.
This is the Light of Christ.
This has been another edition of Light of Christ Radio with Pastors Tom and Paula Graves. Each time you join us, we pray you learn more about Christ, more about his influence in your life, and more about how to live for him each and every day. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. And invite your friends and family to listen. You'll find a link at our website, lightofchristradio.com. You'll also find a link there to download our mobile app. And if social media is a part of your daily routine, be sure to like us on Facebook to keep up to date on what Light of Christ is doing. Find links to all of the above at lightofchristradio.com. Before our time is up with you today, we'd like to share some important information about how you can help support us. Radio programs like this one are wonderful ministries that God uses to advance his kingdom here on earth. And as any ministry, there are expenses involved. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us in our mission by financially supporting the Light of Christ radio show? Every amount, no matter the size, is greatly appreciated and useful. There's more information on our website at lightofchristradio.com. Just click on the support link. Thanks for praying about this. Join Pastors Tom and Paula Graves next time for another Light of Christ Radio.
This is the Light of Christ. disappears. I need that smell.